evening church. It's always lekker for me when Pastor Richard asked me then, because it was in Afrikaans, in my own church in Groendal. Now in this church, it's English. But you know what's good about that? Wherever we come nowadays, it's English. And then I said, oh, thank you for all the interns of 2015. Waka and Hakim, they can't speak Afrikaans. So now I went to prison with these guys. And now I said, ek wil so praat. And I said, I don't understand. But it was good. Otherwise, I would struggle a lot with people like Danny who want to listen to me and can't understand what I'm saying. But yeah, thank you for the privilege that I can be here tonight. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for who you are. Thank you for dying on the cross for us, Lord. Thank you for saving our souls. Lord, help us to be a blessing to those, Father God, who don't know you yet, Lord. Help us to live the lives that you died for. Tonight, Father God, I'm standing here in fear and trembling. Holy Spirit, will you please take over? Thank you. Whatever I say comes from you, Lord. Thank you for privilege, Lord, to speak to your people. Thank you for loving your people. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can be here tonight. We honor you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I was just worshiping, and this afternoon I was teasing my children about the ways that we do stuff in our house. So, Tani Betsy is not here anymore, but Tani Betsy was our leader in prayer. She was always getting the first step, then everyone will go. And then she said to me, Liesel, we've got a prayer house in Lamot, and I want you to come on board. And I said, oh, Tani Betsy, I don't know. No, I put your name up. You need to come. So now we've got this prayer slots that you need to pray for 1 hour, maybe 3 o'clock, and then 8 o'clock in the afternoon. So my children come home around about 3, and then I'm already positioned to pray. And I said to them, guys, it's prayer time. And now we joke about it now, but Timmy said, Mommy, then I look what song we are going to worship. And it's Jen Johnson's Our Father for 45 minutes, Mom. I can't do this. Oh, it's Worship Mop. I'm no longer a slave, spontaneous. 35 minutes. What's wrong with this woman? But you know what? Now, in times when they struggle with stuff, that is the songs that take them through. So no matter if the children got, I'm not listening, do that stuff over and over and over again, because it will help our children. Whenever the things got hot, they know we need to pray. I visited Juan and Melissa on Friday evening. I said to them, Juan, please don't put Caleb in the room if you drove out a demon. Let him see it. Because when something is not right in church, Timmy said to me, Mommy, there's something. But we think, no, the kids will run away for this stuff. But you know what? Love the gospel before your kids. Then you don't need to teach them everything. They saw the stuff. So that's why you can't somehow walk with a demon and this child won't see it. So tell me, Mommy, something is wrong. You need to love the stuff. Because sometimes we preach a lot of stuff and you don't love it. It's too much work. But if people see your life and you just demonstrate Jesus, then it will come so easy. Last week, Jolene asked me if I don't want to share something, and I didn't answer because I'm that person. I first answer and then I think. But last week it was like, Jolene, I don't want to do this, please, because I'm tired. Guys, the month of May for me was hectic. It was so hectic. I was like, Lord, what's happening? In my house, it was the one accident after the another. It was so hectic that I was sitting in my room on my bed and I was crying. Lord, please help me. I don't know how much I can take. At the ministry in Groendal, the guys are backsliding like crazy. It feels like I'm in a spin. And I said, and now Jolene wants me to say something. I can't say anything to you. But then on Sunday morning, it starts on Friday morning. Thursday evening, I said, I'm not going to prayer meeting. I'm not going because I'm tired. And then around about 6, I just put on my earbuds and I stand outside. And a song came into my ears, a song long ago. I don't know, I don't even think you know the song. But it's a heel song where Darlene sings, come to the Father. I know that song is not on this board. I wish it was, that you can just listen to the words. Because that song, it's like something just came over me. The love of Christ. Said, you are tired, but I am here. And I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you. It's 6:50. I need to be at prayer. I need to go to prayer. Otherwise, I wasn't here, Daddy. Then I came into prayer meeting. And Pastor Richard didn't know about my day. Put on a song of praise. That's a new song to many people. But that song, oh, I love that song. We danced that song at conversions. Oh, that song, lift up my feet again. Because that song sings, hell lost another one, I am free. So I stand there and I said, Lord, how can I miss this? No, I'm here. And so we prayed. When I go home, I felt so much better. But the Friday morning was when the Lord visited me. I start praying. And I don't know if you know that at times that when you pray and it feels like, oh, I don't feel like the Lord is listening to you. And then that moment when you pray and it feels like he's coming, looking in your eyes. And I was praying and I felt that he was looking to me. And normally the Lord speak to me. If he speak to me, it's through scripture. And the scripture is in a mountain or in a river. And then I need to go look up what that scripture is. But this scripture is so part of me. I just love this scripture. And this scripture is in Isaiah 42, where the Lord speaks about the bruised reed. And when I read that scripture, I want to read it to you. I've got the Bible, Pastor Richard, but I don't have glasses to see. Yeah. He knows. Isaiah 42. And Isaiah 42, it reads, and I read it out of the NLT version. Look at my servant, whom I strengthen. He is my chosen one who pleases me. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or raise his voice in public. He will not crush the weakest reed or put out a flickering candle. He will bring justice to all who have been wronged. As I read that, only the two scriptures, I just feel his presence all around me. And I was tired without any fire at all. I was so tired. But I felt the Lord just putting his arms around me, telling me that he know about my weakness. He know how tired I am. But he's the one that will never, never, never will he crush anything that's little inside of me. That little flame that's still there, it's enough for the Lord. Because he will come and ignite that fire again. He will not break down a bruised reed. He will not do it. And so many people are bruised in church, and then we just move away from everyone and everything. We want to be alone. We want to isolate. And I want to tell you, isolation is from the devil. Because when you're alone, you with your own thoughts, you think the things that you think are the right things. But you are far from right. To be amongst believers is the best thing that you can do. But I can tell it to you now because I went through it. I said to Nita, please start the car. Nobody knows. Nobody, because you've got your smile. You've got your, you are your own self, but you are struggling. And I said, you start the car. I just want to run out of church and go. And I'm not that type of person. I love people. I want to be with people. But now the enemy tell me, you know what? You need to run. You are not worthy. You don't know nothing. Who are you to preach? Who are you? There's a lot of accusations. And if you're alone, you believe it. And I was wondering if you know, the Lord said that two is better than one. Because the Lord knows whenever you are down, your brother or your sister can tell you, no, it will be okay. But if you're alone, you're going to believe the one voice that is screaming louder than anything. Because as we hear in the scripture, the Lord is not going to raise his voice. But the enemy is doing that. So if we're alone, it's better for him. Because now he can just do with us like he please. And as I got up from the bed, I had a word for Venora the week of that week that we had small group here. The Pentecost week, yeah. I had a word for her. And as I was giving the word to her, she started crying because it was a spot on word. So I said to her, okay, Venora, I will come to you on the Friday. And I said to her, I don't want you to come and get me at home. I want to walk because the Lord is talking to me a lot when I'm walking. So I walk. And as I come to Venora, it feels like there was a reunion. Because Venora is in church. Venora is my sister. But when last did I check up on Venora? And I can feel how the Lord, he's rebuking me about this. Because we got so engulfed with our own stuff that we forgot about other people. We don't know what other people are going through. And we are here for each other. We are here for each other. We are brother's keeper. There's something that you need from me. Pastor Richard this morning mentioned it. We, the body, everyone is needed in the body. If you are not here, somebody miss you. If somebody is not missing you, you need to ask the Lord, Lord, please. Please, Father, somebody needs to miss me. Because otherwise, I mean nothing to the body. And we need to understand that God placed us here for a reason. Now you feel nobody's missing me, so it's okay for me to just be quiet or say nothing. And so I stopped talking. The other thing, he make you quiet. You will feel the Lord say something, and you say, no, I can't do this. Let me tell you, whenever we start getting quiet over the stuff of the Lord, we need to know the enemy is busy with us. And on that Friday morning, as I was praying, I hear the Spirit of the Lord say, you know what? I want you here. Guys, and I can tell you, if we're not praying, our lives are empty. Our lives are powerless. And now I don't talk about, okay, I'm sitting there and I do my 5 minutes and I go. If we don't spend time with the Lord, we can't say we are fruitful. Because it's being with the Spirit that sent you out to do something out there. It's not in our own strength that we do stuff. And that is another thing. If you are hurt, if you are betrayed, if stuff happen, you don't spend quality time because your mind is elsewhere. You sit there, you pray, but you're not present. And the Lord sometimes challenged me, you know what? If you see you're going to pray 10 minutes, Liesl, please be present. How many of you know that we can go to the closet to pray, but we're not present? Because your mind is, oh, I still need to do that. I still need to do that. Oh, I need to answer that email. It's holy stuff. But it's stuff that keeps us away from the Lord. Somebody sent you a WhatsApp telling you, don't you want to pray for me? And now you want to know the story. And when you see it's an hour later, and you didn't spend time with him. That is why we need to make an appointment. Lord, can I come sit 8:30, 10:30? Lord, I will be there. Because when you make an appointment with somebody, you need to look in that one's eyes. But because we don't make an appointment with the Lord, I can come sit and my phone is going off. And then I say, oh, this one, that one. God wants our attention. That brings me to a testimony of doing everything that I do, but do it half-hearted. But when the Lord dealt with me, you know, I was missing the Lord in such a way, and I speak to people about it, and then they say, I don't understand. But you will only understand if you spend deep quality time with him. If you know his smell, if you know how he walk, if you know the Holy Spirit. And guys, I backslid from that relationship with the Lord. You sit in church, you do everything right, you do all the right oohs and ahs, but something is wrong. And I need to go to God and say, why am I missing you? You only miss somebody that you don't see. That's not around you. You need to go back. And then the Lord challenged me to go back to where I think I fall. You can't just go on. You will be tired. You will be powerless. You can't do this. In front, Pastor Richard is busy with the healing center. I said to my kids when we joke, you know what? If it was when I didn't go to all the stuff, Pastor Richard would say, oh, thank you, Liesl. Because guys, I live for healing. I live for deliverance. Because it was part of my mandate. I can't work with prisoners. I can't work with drug addicts without knowing about deliverance. Because the guys are broken. They need to be delivered. You can say yes to the Lord, but now you come into the kingdom with everything that's still wrong with you. And that's why we backslid. Because you come, but all your friends is still after you. You need to be awake for this stuff. So I had a little heart-to-heart with the Lord, and I said, Lord, where should I start? And he said, you go back. Guys, I need to go back to prison where I started this ministry. When I went to prison with Pastor Tiens and start getting involved with prison ministry, that was not my first start. I don't know why the Lord can use stuff like this, but the Lord used my nephew that went to prison for me to start doing prison ministry. Because that's where I really find that compassion for people in prison. But the Lord showed me to prison to meet with him. Because Jesus is in prison. Jesus is worried over that broken people without a father. They are suffering without a father. You ask a question. Freddy's here tonight. What is wrong with him? Why is he going the same path over and over again? But you need to understand the life that he's coming from. To understand why he's doing over these things over and over. Because we know the Lord. We live in a warm house and we are struggling. So what about those? Those people who don't even have somebody telling them, my boy, it's okay. The guys in prison, they didn't have this privilege where you look. Pastor Richard is going to from room to check if his children are sleeping. But their moms and dads don't even know if they're in the house. It's just another one that's there. And that stuff is breaking them down. So they need deliverance. And so demons are nothing new to me. Because that is the stuff that hurts people. That sent some people to an early grave. Because they don't know what to do with these things. So this is why I love Jesus so much, guys. Because my father was a drug addict. He always did drugs from the day that I was born. I loved my father so much. But that was his weak point. My father didn't have an easy upbringing. But wasn't it for my father's drug use? I don't know if I would have loved people like that and have compassion on them. So before we think about what we do, God knows what he's busy doing. He won't put you in a place that it's okay. He knows Liesel will have compassion. Because she was with that man day in, day out. Can't change what's wrong. And because of that father, I walk with a thing like, I'm not good enough. Because my father said, children mock me about that. You know children, they look for stuff to mock you with. It was a deep wound that I was walking with because children say this about me. I had a very strict mom, a mom that tried to fight her own way through this life. So for me it was, you will not do this, you not do that, not do. It's only this way. And so when I met Jesus Christ, Derek, I can't understand that people can't fall in love with him. When I met the Lord Jesus Christ, he said to me, you, I love you just the way you are. You don't need to worry what your father did wrong, what your mother did wrong, because I love you. Guys, I fell in love with this Jesus through the word. Jesus said, though your mother or your father will forsake you, I will take you in. For you, it's just the word. For me, it's like, I felt so abandoned. And does this guy really mean this? A Jesus that said, I looked to the multitude and I had compassion on you. If somebody has compassion on you, he knows what you're going through. He loves you. And he wants to be with me. For me, it was such a shock. And I grabbed that. I said, I want to be with you too. Please help me. So I gave my life to Jesus. And it was at the funeral of Felicity's husband. There was a lot of people asked her. Her husband was a very famous evangelist in France. Her husband shared the gospel with me always, wherever he saw me. But when he died, I gave over. And since then, I love Jesus. But then, you don't understand church life. You don't understand that the more you love Jesus, the more the enemy hates you. So he will come for you. He will do stuff to stop you. But this morning, Pastor Richard mentioned something. And he said, you know what? We need to love Jesus, not Richard or Jolene. We need to look to Jesus. If we go through this stuff, that is the time that we know, and I know Jesus, because I'm standing. If you fall and never stand up again, you know. You don't know Jesus. Because Jesus is the one that will take your hand. Holy Spirit will lead you in times like that. Through his word, he will take you. And I had a lot of stuff because I go to the dark places, get the people out of the darkness into the light. So the darkness will come for me. But then you go to the light because the light is the one that will lead you. So yesterday I went to prison. And there was a program called the Restorative of Justice. And I was crying my heart out. Men 50 years old crying because they don't know their fathers. They never knew a relationship with a father. And as I was standing there, I said, Lord, how can I sleep while so many people don't know the gospel yet? While so many people still crying for a father, not knowing that Jesus Christ wants to be a father unto them. And it was so beautiful that pastors really go to the extreme and they drive all over. Franschhoek, Paul, Grabo, wherever to go and find the parents of the people that are in prison. So that they can reconcile. So that they can ask questions. What happened? Why does these things happen? I was so blessed to be a part of that. Because it's a 3-month program where people want to get reconciled with each other, with families. Because it's murderous. But the mom don't even know why the kid is in prison. The father don't even know the child. There was people that saw their father for the first time in 20 years. Grown-up men they were crying, asking, Daddy, why did you abandon us? There was the one guy, he just shared his testimony, but he was busy talking to his girlfriend because not mom or dad even come. So his girlfriend came to prison and she asked him, I want to ask you one thing. Did you do that? Because for so long he said, you're innocent. And he said, yes, I'm guilty. I shot the policeman. Because my father is a policeman. But when he comes from his workplace, he's hitting my mom like she's a slave. Children go through stuff like that. And he said, he made a vow, I will never respect a policeman because of what my father did to us. Abuse my mom, abuse us. And then he goes out to do his job. And again the Lord showed me, you are not in prison just because you want to be there. The guy said, I was 5 years old when I decided nobody even knows about me, so I go to the streets. And there, 14 years old, my first murder. If I go to these places and I said, Lord, now I'm so shocked, I need to run away, where will Jesus be? I had opportunity to speak, and the one guy that I'm with, father's here, mother's here, living in the now, feeling they don't need to ask for forgiveness of giving this child unto his grandma. And I asked them, don't you understand why this child is doing this stuff? He just wants your guys' attention. It was such a beautiful picture when the father said, I'm sorry, my child, for abandoning you. You know, that guy, he's 49 years old. And he lay with his father like this, like a baby. So his mind stopped at 15 when the father just threw him away. And if that guys need to come out of prison, they need to understand all the stuff there. So I'm so thankful for what the Lord is doing there, because that whole program is Bible based. So that the people can understand there is a Father in heaven that wants to know us, that wants to love us. You can get tired, but if God gives you the mandate to love people, you will do it again. You will do it again and again. At the ministry in Groendal, I come there. Where's all the guys? No, this one is there, this one is there. If I walk away and feel, okay, I'm not worrying about them, what will happen to the guys? But because of the love of Christ, they can change. There's something beautiful in each and every one of us. They will fall, but with all the word and all the love that they receive, I know one day the Lord will just quicken them. But who am I to judge them? Who am I to say, what's wrong with you? Yes, they know me. I'm like a mom to them. But I love them. If there's people, if your family are in prison, ask the Lord. Lord, help me understand what is wrong. Because afterwards, you will be rewarded as well. There's a lot of people in prison that are rotten there because people don't see them. People don't know them. And then, if you are involved and you see, Pastor Richard will know the guys, but all our stars of prison are out now. And you see a guy like Tanda is preaching the gospel on Facebook, then your heart is swollen. Yo, look at this guy now. You see a Leroy, I'm a pastor now, Alfred Nube, that guy's going for the Lord. Then you say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Don't look for a few people that are backsliding. Look at the bigger picture. There's guys that are doing well. So in prison ministry, there's people that need us. Then my other nephew got sick. TB. That sent me to Sonstral. I don't know if you know that hospital. They call it a lake size, a mortuary, because people die there, Jolene. If you come into that place, you smell death. And I take the two people that, Merle and Nita, they can't stand this stuff. Merle said to me before, I'm going to vomit. Please help me. I'm going to vomit. I can't do this. Why are you taking us to this place? People, Nita's my sister, but you know what? She's not like me. So she feel, I don't like filthy stuff. I don't like this stuff. Why are you taking me here? I said, I want you to come out of your comfort zone. Sometimes we too comfortable. So we need to go that place. Introduce us to COVID. Because we didn't wear masks. But as we enter, the people say, you need to take this mask and put it on you. Because of that smell, you want to put the mask. So I put the mask on my face and I'm going into that place. Guys, as we enter the hospital, at the back, there already a dead person is lying there because nobody knows he died yesterday. He died during the night and the people, because of he only lying there, they don't even know he's dead. That is how that people don't care at all. But as I enter the place, I had an encounter with the Lord, standing in that place telling me, this is people that I love. I want you to love these people. I think I come for this cousin of mine. I'm nothing to do with the rest. That was not the plan that the Lord has. And so many people got healed in that hospital. The darkness flee because the light enter. Guys, we will never understand the power of the Holy Spirit inside of us. When you put your foot down and say, Lord, this stops today. People won't die anymore. They will live and not die and testify. Merle and Nita quickly come out of their comfort zone and start loving that guys. And one guy's name was Jeremiah, and I don't know it. And the Lord said to me, tell that guy. Give him the scripture of Jeremiah. Where the Lord said to Jeremiah, I have called you. And I said, hi. In Jeremiah 1 verse 5, the Lord said this scripture. And the guy started crying. And I said, why are you crying? And through the coughing and hopping and all, he said to me, my name is Jeremiah. I said, wow. And he was so sick. And I start praying for him. And the Lord don't want him to just physically get healed. Because he was a grown up. But he lost his family over drugs. He said to me, he was born a Christian. His wife still a Christian. But because of drugs, he got sick and on the streets and he's there. And as we pray for him, the light of Christ come in his eyes because he received Jesus back in his life. And the next week we came there and it's one of two things. All Jeremiah's dead or he went home or stuff, but he was too sick. The guys tell us, after we left that place, Jeremiah started worshiping the Lord. And a week after that, his family reunited with him. They came into that place. They reunited with him. And after seeing that, the guy coming to me of this whole facility, and he asked me, what group are you guys? And I said, I don't understand. No, what are you, like Hope Ministries or what? I said, no, we're just loving the Lord. We're from Sofa Franschhoek. Oh, because I want to repent. And I said, wow. I'm the pastor of the congregational church and I never prayed for one of these guys. I never prayed because I felt they're so dead they can just die. I'm just the doctor here. he said, I want to repent. Because since the day you guys came to this place, a new life came into this place. A new hope came into my life. Because I saw miracles still happen. Jesus still lives. He was a dominie, and some the dominies don't believe that you can let people come to life again. So they said that snarks of people were here. But that guy said, I want to repent. I want to go back to Franschhoek, telling the people from Franschhoek came to this place. So people, don't underestimate you being at the place. Sometimes we're so busy moping about stuff that's not really. You can even say, oh, that is so small. There's people with real problems. And the Lord chose us to go out. There's one last thing I want to tell you. I'm sorry, Pastor Richard and Jolene, but I just need that to say this. Every Thursday evening, I look at this couple and I said, Lord, how can people be over 80 and they more hungry for God than anyone else? And I want to salute you, Derek and Rosita, for not stopping being at the meeting. Guys, I want to invite you. It's at the prayer meeting where stuff starts. It's at the prayer meeting where God moves. We think it's okay not to be here. But I learned so much in prayer meetings. I met the power of Christ in prayer. And for our church to come to that place of really running with everything, we need to come together again. Because we see in the Word, in the book of Acts, while the disciples was fellowshipping and praying and busy with the Word, stuff happened. I pray to the Lord that after this encounter that I have with Him, I will go to Felicity again saying, come, let's make a prayer group like way back. There's stuff that we did that we don't do now. The Lord wants our fire back. If we had our fire back, we can do so much more. So much more. Because the last word that He gave unto me was in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 6, where Paul urged Timothy to stir up the gift. We need to stir the gift of salvation inside of us again. So that we can do the things that God wants us to do. Many people are praying for us and there's nothing wrong. But we can't just wait for somebody to pray for me on Sunday. And then I go without praying the whole week and want to have power. We can't do it. God loves us. He gave His life so that we can go out and give our lives. I thank the Lord for Pastor Richard and Jolene coming to Shofar with this mandate of wanting the supernatural to happen. My heart is filled with so much joy because they are hearing correctly. Because I was telling the Lord, you know what? I was in VGK and I saw more miracles than I saw in church. What is wrong now? Because the Holy Spirit is here, the Holy Spirit is not there. Guys, this is not a joke. I was sad. And then Pastor Richard and Jolene came. And I had a joy without knowing them coming. They said, other pastors are coming. I have that joy in my heart and I don't know why. But God knows. Because He knows what's burning inside of me. Because if you preach something and nothing happened, people won't believe you. But if the stuff happened like it's happening now, people will come back and come back and come back again. Because now people see Jesus is still alive. There's a lot of churches, but we go in and we go out. But if you come into church and we can go back changed, then we know Jesus is in that church. Do not get tired of church. I'm grateful that the Lord placed us together. This morning, Jolene said something to Pastor Richard of Health Hostage. And I said, no, Jolene. Now you will think, okay, I need to be done. I'm used to 2 hours of church. 2 hours of church and we kring dance and they geniet die Here binne. Nou jy haastig, ek wil net uit. You know, while you're doing all the dancing and all the stuff, the Holy Spirit feel welcome. But nowadays, in the culture that we're in, you come to church looking at your watch while coming into church. Just get this thing done. Just get this thing done. We need to come to that place of knowing church. You come to church without a watch. Come to church for Jesus. Because he's still here. Sometimes we think, oh, it's still words. But from January until now, the messages that Pastor Richard and Jolene and everyone was preaching tell you, you need to seek him again. Otherwise, you will come nowhere. Some people now, they never had an encounter with the Lord. Because of this quick fix, I will quickly Google this thing. Where is this thing? We need to go in again. Otherwise, we will never change. Because it's the words of Jesus that made us change. It's the word of Jesus that made us love people. That made us have compassion on others. That made us have the fruit of the Spirit and not being grumpy all the time. If I'm grumpy, my children are like, what's happening with this woman? Because I stand up with a song. Because I go sleep with a song. And guys, my husband is not safe yet. Eh? And you can know how it goes in houses like that. A guy can come in and tell you now I'm not less for this and that and that. Where's the fruit of the Spirit then? To say, okay, Lord, okay. If you got it easy, that your husband is praying for you while you doing this that I'm doing, say, thank you, Lord. Sometimes we think my life is so bad, but you don't know. But when you look to Jesus, you can do anything. Because he's strengthening you. He invites you. I want to be your husband. While he's still there, I'm alongside you. Don't you worry. But now you are grumpy. You cry the day away. And when the day is gone, you did nothing for Jesus. I can't do that. I've got too many things to do for you. Amen, guys. I know it was long. But I thank the Lord for you guys being here. And I thank the Lord that in each and every one of your heart, something was dropped tonight. We need to love him with everything. Because he is our Father. Because of Christ's love, 2 years before my father passed on, he came to Christ. Nothing is impossible. Nothing. Tonight, Rosita talked about the father, and I said to her, before he died, he was in a small group where the people know me. And he came home and he said to me, you know what, my child? I was so proud tonight in my small group. And I asked him, what happened, Papa? He said, the way the people talk about you serving the Lord, my heart was swelling. Because he feel I wasn't a good father. But look what Jesus has done in your life. Don't look to your life and say you and disqualified yourself. It's not us that made us. It's him, and he chose us. Amen. Father, thank you so much, Lord. Thank you that we be in your presence tonight, Father God. Lord, I thank you tonight, Jesus, for every one of your children that are here tonight, Father God. I pray, Lord, that something will stir in their hearts, Father God. Stir to go out and proclaim the gospel, the good news that Jesus still saves. Thank you so much, Lord, that you use us. We are so small and the gift that we give is so small, Father. But still, you choose us. Thank you for that, Lord. Lord, please bless your people during this week, Father. I know, Father God, that a lot of them, everyone, Lord, will go out this week and say, Lord, use me. Father, lead me where you want me. Not everyone, Father God, go to a TB clinic or to a prison, Father God. But Father God, the people that still needs to be saved are among us, Lord. Help us to shine our lights, Father. We worship you tonight. We give you praise, Lord. We honor you, Jesus. There's no one like you, Father. I pray a protection, Father God, over each and everyone that's here, Lord. I pray, Father God, that this week will be a good week for them, Father. I pray, Father God, for good news unto those who are struggling in this week, Lord. I pray, Father God, that tonight you show them, Lord, that a bruised reed, Lord, you won't break down further, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us. We worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, let's just stay in an attitude of response. Yeah, I just want to extend the invitation to to all of us to respond and to just to think and just to ponder on what Liesl has shared. And I just feel the Lord challenging us. We've got a choice now to leave this place or to take a moment and to say, Lord, what about me? How do you want to use me? And Liesl's right. We're not all called for prison ministry and TB clinics, but we're all called. If you're a Christian tonight, you're called. You're called to be salt. You're called to be light. And you're called to change and impact the environment that you move in and around. And so, Holy Spirit, we just invite you right now to come speak to us about our circles of influence, to speak to us about our families, our friends, our colleagues. How do you want to use us? The Bible says we are called for good works that God prepared before the foundations of the world, that we should walk in them to His glory. And so, Father, I pray that you would reveal to anybody who's perhaps confused around that, saying, Lord, I don't know where you want to use me. You would bring clarity. That you'd reveal, Lord, the opportunities to share. So maybe while every eye is closed, if that's you tonight and you're saying, Lord, I really want to be used, but I don't know where, would you show me? Why don't you just raise your hands so I can just pray for you? Is anybody like that? Thank you for those hands, yeah. It's a good couple of us. So Lord, we thank you for the desire to be used by you. And Jesus, we just bring these precious people before you. And Lord, we thank you that we don't need to beat down your door, Lord, and knock so hard, Lord, that our hands are bruised, Lord, to get your attention followed. One word, Lord, your ear is there. And so thank you that I can just bless your sheep with your voice in their ears. And so, Holy Spirit, we just invite you to lead and to guide and to be the light on our path. Would you order our steps? Would you open the doors? Would you close the doors? Would you say yes, yeah, no, there? And would you link and connect and bring us into divine orchestrated relationships, Lord, where we can only know, Father, you've led our feet there. That ministry, that opportunity, that work position. Father, whatever it is, Lord, would you do the supernatural and connect the dots in the Spirit. And that we'd come back and testify that you have led us. And so we just receive your guidance. We receive your leading tonight as children that know you don't hide yourself from us. Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.